The Word of God really can't be separated from miracles, especially when you're speaking evangelistically. And what we need to begin to get a mentality of is that as we minister the Word of God, then we need to allow God to confirm His Word. If I minister salvation, then I need to allow God time to confirm salvation. There should be people in the audience who need salvation. If I minister about praise and worship, then we should allow God to confirm that by bringing us into praise and worship. If I minister about miracles, then we need to allow God to confirm that and to minister miracles. So whatever that we're ministering, we want to allow God time to confirm His Word. And what we're going to be looking at today is about where we were last week, except I'm going to point out three things today that I really want you to see. Number one, signs and wonders confirm His Word. Number two, cities are affected when signs and wonders are done in them. Three, most, if not all, the signs and wonders that are done in the book of Acts were done among the people and not in the churches. Now, Jesus did go to the synagogues, and Jesus healed the withered hand and the woman that was bent over for the 18 years. And so I'm not saying that they weren't done there and can't be done there, but in the book of Acts, we're talking about the establishing of the churches. We're talking about how they went out and ministered to the people. And what I'm wanting to emphasize to us today is, again, that thought, let's stop scrimmaging and practicing and go out and play the game. Let's stop coming and huddling and go out and harvest. Let's stop coming in and just digesting the menu, and let's start going out and getting the meat. So I'm coming from that same emphasis. We need to practice. How many know we need to practice? Do we? And I'm going to just use this example. A while back, we did this thing with the hunters. And that helped me so much and gave me so much confidence that I took that when I went to Trinidad and Tobago here a couple of months back. And I was able to come forth in that because I had practiced on us. I was able to take that. And that was able to encourage my faith and others' faith so that there were some bigger miracles that came forth. But I got to practice and scrimmage here. You understand? Now, does that mean that all of us are in perfect shape, that all of our finances, everybody's finances who are in perfect shape, I mean, you just don't want any more money because you got plenty, your finances are in perfect shape, let me see your hand. Not a one. Does that mean that everybody's always going to be in perfect health here? Does that mean that all of our marriages are always going to be perfect? No. But it does mean, Jesus says, the poor you'll have with you always. But does that mean just because our church isn't always perfect or our lives aren't always perfect that we just maintain in these four walls, or do we go out into the harvest? Okay. Sure, we're always going to have problems. Amen. Families have problems. But we got to go out of here. There's still more to do. And so I'm not removing the thought that we've got to come together as a body and minister to one another. I'm wanting us to go on into a new dimension and go out of these doors and do some harvesting. Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to read where I read last week, beginning at verse 36. And seeing the multitudes, He felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Where's the problem? Do we see this? The problem's not with the harvest. Harvest is ready. We don't need to pray for the harvest. The harvest is there. Where we need to focus our prayers? On the laborers. On the workers. We got to stop praying so much about people and ask God to send us out and harvest them. Stop praying that so-and-so will get saved. I don't find that in the Scriptures, but find where God says, go out now with boldness and speak the Word of God. Go out with boldness and do signs and wonders. And that's where our prayer has got to be emphasized at, because verse Verse 38 says, therefore beseech, pray that the Lord of the harvest to send out workers or laborers into his harvest. So what do we pray for? The Bible clearly says we are to pray for the workers. Nothing's wrong with the harvest. The problem is in the workers. Now, don't stop there with that, because that chapter 10 thing there was not there when Jesus did this. Jesus looks out. He sees the multitudes. They're like sheep without shepherds. He says, my goodness, look at this. I'm so downcast. He says that they're so downcast. I have such compassion on them. They just don't know where they're going or what they're doing. Hey, guys, come here. Come here. So look what he does now. And having summoned his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Verse 7, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Now get the picture. Hey, guys, come here. The harvest is ready. It's white. Problem's not with the harvest. What we got to do is get some laborers out here. I'm going to lay hands on you. I'm going to impart into you healing. I'm going to impart into you. This is what we did last week, right? I'm going to impart into you all these things. Cast out devils. Heal lepers. Heal the sick. Raise up the people that can't walk. Minister to the people. Now go out, preach the kingdom of God. And while you're preaching the kingdom of God, heal people. Cast out devils. Freely you've received it. Freely give it. So we're not supposed to take it and keep it. What we're supposed to do with it? So this is where I'm wanting us to go. And I want to look through a lot of scripture, so stay with me. Book of Acts. We're going to look after scripture, after scripture, after scripture. I'm going to stop, hopefully, at 15 minutes to 12, and we're going to allow God to confirm His Word. We're going to do some scrimmaging so that we can go out and play the game. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4 is talking about the man at the gate called Beautiful. It was at this point, it seems that they learned, it was at this instance that was set off by the healing of this man, that they determined that they needed to pray that God would confirm His Word with signs. Not only would they have boldness to preach the Word of God, but that God would confirm what they were preaching with signs. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6, and Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they were taking note of him. What were they taking note of? Were they taking note of Peter now and his preaching? What are they taking note of? And they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Even religious people are filled with wonder and amazement at miracles. Now, you know what happens here, but look at chapter 4 and verse 4. Now, what happened is they came, and Peter preached to them, and then they took Peter, and they locked him up, and they were going to keep him overnight, Peter and the disciples, or the apostles. But look what happened, because of what God did in healing this guy, verse 4. But many of those who had heard the message did what? Believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. Now, look what happened. Guy at the gate, Beautiful. Bang, he's healed. Runs and leaps and praises God. Peter gets to preach to him. And many believe. You're going to find, as we look at this today, you're going to find there's going to be a miracle, or there's going to be the Word of God either confirmed by a miracle, or there's going to be a miracle and then the Word of God. But you're going to find out that every time that there's a lot of people that start coming to believe. Multitudes. Now we got 5,000 people. One guy gets healed. They took note of the guy. They didn't take note of the preacher. Took note of the guy. And then, verse 29 of chapter 4. You know, they finally release Peter and whoever's with him, and they go back to their place, and they pray their prayer. I just want to look at a little bit of this prayer. Verse 28. To do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur. Verse 29. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant. He's going to ask that the Lord would grant two things. Grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with confidence. King James says boldness. What's the first thing he asked for? To do what? To speak the word of God. While thou dost extend thy hand to heal. The second thing they asked for is that God would grant that he would extend his hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. See this. Now see this. All of a sudden they get this revelation because of what happened with this guy at the gate called Beautiful. They get this revelation. Well, look what happened, man. God heals this guy. Yeah, we get in this trouble, but look, 5,000 people get saved. And all of a sudden, they get this revelation. Wow, we need to do more than just preach. We need to ask God if He'll stretch forth His hand and do some signs and wonders. How many of you have ever prayed that? For your life, not for my life or for the church, but for you specifically. God, would you, in my life, give me boldness to preach, boldness to share, boldness to speak your word, and then number two, will you work miracles through me? That needs to be a part of our prayer. Now, I was at a thing here a couple of weeks ago, and I was sharing with these people about what I'm sharing with you, and I wanted to pray for our city that God would bring forth miracles and miraculous, that He would. I was seeing, and I'm still seeing it, that included in revival in our city, there must be the miraculous. Are you seeing this? And you'll see it more and more and more as we go through this today. But do you see that this is what's happening here? Now, I'm wanting to pray this. And one individual, and I'm not going to tell you where I was or who it was, but one individual says, well, I believe that that means the miraculous thing that happened in my life, how God raised me up. And now I can run and leap and praise God on my insides. How many knows? This guy wasn't running, leaping, and praising God on his insides. He was doing it running and leaping and praising God. This really happened. And I believe this, folks. I really believe that before we're going to see a major pouring out of God's Spirit in the earth today, we're going to have to see signs and wonders coming. I believe people are tired of rhetoric. They're tired of preachers that don't live what they preach. They're tired of hearing about it, and they want to see it happen. You can go anywhere and get a preaching. Now, we're going to go through a whole lot. Chapter 5, verse 12. Chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira happens. You know what happens there. I'm not going to even talk about that one, but great fear fell upon the people, and even more people come in. Then chapter 5, verse 12. And at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people. Where was it taking place? In the church? Where? Jesus says, hey, I want you guys to come here. Now go out to their houses. You go out to where they're at and you minister to them. Among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. What's going to bring high esteem back to the ministry? Does the ministry have high esteem today? No. But man, when there's signs and wonders following, it'll bring back high esteem. Verse 14, and all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. Now get what he says. Verse 12, and at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people. And then in verse 14, and all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men, women were constantly added to their number. To such an extent that even they carried their sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. And also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming. Why were they coming? Bring in people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were being healed. Folks, we want to minister to our area. We have got to have a mindset that gets out of we just need to come and have good preaching. And we just need to come and sit and let Delbert preach to us. We got to go know that what Jesus really wants us to do is go out and minister to people. He wants people healed. These signs shall follow the preacher. Who? Them that believe. What do? Lay hands on the sick. They recover. Cast out devils. Snakes can bite you. Somebody poisons you. Won't hurt you. Okay? This is what it's about. And please notice, it's among the people. We practice here. We learn here. But what I'm seeing in the Scriptures is that it's time now to go out. They were coming. It was among the people. Verse 13 says they held them in high esteem. Ministry will come back into high esteem when there's something because the ministry is doing to be put back in high esteem. And the constant that I'm trying to show you today is that miracles happen and then believers happen. And then verse 15 and 16, people come to be ministered to. Now, we don't follow signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are supposed to follow us. But the lost are supposed to come to signs and wonders. Do you see this? They were bringing their sick people to be healed. Chapter 6, verse 7. Now, this is where we ordain the deacons. Okay, you got Stephen and Philip and Philip Stephen and Stephen Philip and... And the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Again, people are coming, but hooked up right there with it, you find signs and wonders. Now, do you have to be an apostle to do signs and wonders? Was Stephen an apostle? No. He's just a guy full of grace, full of the Holy Ghost. Went out and ministered to people. Was bold enough to put his hand on somebody and expect God to heal them. And even the religious people started coming. Word spread, disciples increased, the priests believed, Stephen, the little deacon, performed, that's what my Bible says, King James Bible says, did, wonders and signs. The word there, performed or did, means to make or to do. Stephen did this because of the power of God, the grace of God that was in him. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. And the multitudes, with one accord, were giving attention to what was said by Philip. Why? Why did Philip have an audience to start with? What brought them to the place where they gave attention to what Philip had to say? As they heard and saw the signs which were being performed. Now, folks, I'm telling you, when things happen, people go out and people start hearing about it. People will hear, and then they'll come and they'll see the signs. Am I right? This is what the Bible says. The lost follow signs. For in the case of many, this is what he was doing, for in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. Now look at this, and there was much rejoicing in the city. How did rejoicing come to the city? Signs and wonders, then the preaching. Or preaching and signs and wonders. You can't separate the two. It's going to happen, and then rejoicing comes to the city. Then you're going to find out, even as we go on through this, you'll find out that cities are literally converted because of signs and wonders, not because of preaching. We need some radical changing in our thinking. We don't believe in it. That's why we're not getting it. We've got to change the way we think and expect God to heal people when we put our hand on them. Multitudes gave attention to Philip's teaching as they heard and they saw the signs and the wonders performed. The signs and wonders were demons being cast out in the healings. Reckon what happened to those demons? Reckon they're still running around? Or did they leave when the apostles left? We don't know how to handle it. You know what? I told you about the demon that I met in Trinidad, one of those puking demons. And you know, but I didn't tell you about the one that I couldn't cast out. I was at another place. It was that night, in fact. I was at that night, and I was ministering to people, and God was moving and healing backs and those kinds of things. That was the night that he took the lumps out from under the guy's arm. And here comes this demon. This was the girl demon. Girl demons are worse than guy demons. Am I right, George? Is that right? Now, she wanted to get to the pastor. She didn't really want to have nothing to do with me. She wanted to get to the pastor. Nice-looking, debonair guy. She wanted to get to the pastor. And she would not give me the time. Man, I couldn't minister to her. I tried to bind her and everything. They finally had to just take her out. But am I going to stop trying to cast demons out of people? Nope. Keep on trying. Because I'm dumb enough to believe that if I put my hand on somebody and say, "Demon, get out," demons got to get out. If I say it in the name of Jesus, right? All right. So, you know, what I'm trying to share with you is that this is the utopia of the thing. This is the apex of the thing. But just because you pray for somebody and there's not an immediate miraculous thing happens, don't stop doing it. Acts chapter 9. How many say this is pretty consistent? Acts chapter 9, 17. Now, what's happened here is the Apostle Paul is being converted. Now, I want to try to spend a few minutes here and just look at this. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. And Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul." And the Lord said, "Brother Saul, the Lord said, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he arose and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. Now, let's try to get this picture. The Apostle Paul has gone to Damascus with threatenings and causing great havoc in the church. You know what happens? God meets him, deals with him, sends him to a street called Straight, puts him in a house, and then he goes to Ananias and he says, "Ananias, I want you to go and minister to this guy." "Sure, Lord, I'll go. Where do you want me to go? Who would you want me to go to?" "Well, Saul of Tarsus." "Oh, no, no, Lord. Now, this guy is bad news. He comes with threatenings and he is causing great havoc in the church, and Lord, I really don't want to deal with this guy." "Well, I've got him set up for you, Ananias. I've touched him. I've blinded him, Ananias. He's really ripe to be ministered to." So Ananias goes and lays his hand on him. God heals him. Now, there's going to be great rewards for Ananias on that day, because this guy, Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, things he said, things he wrote, are still ministering 2,000 years later. Trillions of people have been ministered to by what the Apostle Paul wrote and said, and Ananias is going to have great rewards because he brought in Apostle Paul. He got to pray the sinner's prayer with Apostle Paul. What brought the Apostle Paul into the kingdom of God? Would you say signs and wonders really helped the Apostle Paul come into the kingdom of God? How many Apostle Pauls are out there? How many Sauls of Tarsus are out there that God has touched them? Now, I'm not making a doctrine of this, understand, please, but God has ministered to them in some way, and He's waiting for somebody to go and put their hands on them. How many Apostle Pauls are out there? Now, understand, I'm not saying because somebody's blind, God did it. You understand what I'm trying to say, but He did it to Paul. Did He do it to Paul? And He tells me He's no respecter of persons. So how many has God set up? How many are waiting? How many are on the street call straight at Judas's house waiting for somebody to come and minister to? Could it be? Could this be? Was this at church? Apostle Paul wasn't saved at church. Huh? Where was Apostle Paul saved at? In Judas's house on the street called Straight. He's blind. Got filled with the Holy Ghost and everything. Water baptized, the whole thing. Never went to church. You know I'm right. Acts chapter 9, verse 32. Peter's ministry. Now it came about that as Peter was traveling through all those parts, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. And Peter said to Aeneas, "Jesus Christ heals you. Arise, make your bed." And immediately he arose, and all who lived at Lydia and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now, why did they turn to the Lord? Because of Peter's great preaching? Why were those two cities? Why did those two cities come to Jesus? Evangelism has got something to do with signs and wonders. Turning cities upside down has got something to do with signs and wonders. Lafayette, Tryon, Rome, Chattanooga, wherever you go, when God's people began to go out again with signs and wonders following them, then the cities will be turned upside down. Am I right? Am I biblically correct? Two cities were turned to the Lord. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 through 42. Not going to read the whole thing. This is a beautiful saint. Her name is Dorcas. Tabitha, which was translated Dorcas in verse 36. And she was a beautiful saint, and she made these wonderful garments, and Dorcas died. And Peter was in the area. He was over here getting these two cities straightened out. And so they went and got him and they brought him. And they wept and they cried and they said, "Oh, Dorcas was such a beautiful saint, such a wonderful person. Would you come and minister and see what you could do?" Verse 4, they took him to a room, and Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling his saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it, what would the it be? It became known. What became known? That Tabitha, that Dorcas had been raised from the dead. And it became known over all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Why did they believe in the Lord? Because there was this great church where all the people came together. Because they danced and they praised God and they got up here and the preacher was running around and the kids ran around and we had big times. Why did they come to the Lord? Folks, I'm telling you, we have got to get back to a mentality of signs and wonders. Where am I at? Was this at church, by the way? Chapter 13, verse 6. I got to quit. I'm only halfway through the book. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. What kind of man? A man of intelligence. Let me tell you something, folks. Even intelligent people, if they see signs and wonders, they believe. You ain't got to be sharp. You ain't got to be just smart. Even if you are smart, you're going to believe signs and wonders. The man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. And Elmas, the magician, who thus his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun, who for a time and immediately a mist of darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed." When did he believe? Son of a gun. Isn't that something? Then the proconsul believed. See, they had been sitting there talking to this guy. They'd been sitting there up there. They called him, said, "Hey, you want to hear about this word of God?" Verse 7. But it was when they saw. Then he believed. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teachings of the Lord. Sergius Paulus, the proconsul, a man of intelligence, believed when he saw. Let me tell you what, this is a government official. When will government officials believe? Uh-oh. See, they've heard this stuff, man. They've heard about preaching, and they've heard about churches, and they're not going to believe until there's some power. They're not going to believe until somebody gets this thing done. Was this at church, by the way? Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And it came about that at Iconium they entered in the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke such a manner that the great multitude believed, both of Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews were in disbelief, stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hand. Now get the picture. Here's the Jews and the Gentiles. They're striving together. Jews wanting everybody to get circumcised. Paul says that's not necessary. That's not what we're doing today. That's not what God's saying today. So they're striving together. So what Paul does is he goes out and works a miracle, and he says, see, God's hand is powerful on the Gentile. God grants and God performs His word. God backs up His word with signs and wonders. And many believe. Now, I've got to stop, but let me just read this off to you real quickly. That was 14, 1 through 3. In 15, chapter 12, in chapter 15, they're having the council. They're having the council of Jerusalem where the Jews are saying, hey, we got to get these guys circumcised. They can't come in to Judaism. They can't come into the kingdom of God unless they're circumcised. Well, Peter says, no, that's not the way it's got to be done, because Peter says, we were at Cornelius' house, and when we were at Cornelius' house, God baptized them in the Holy Ghost, and they spake in tongues even as we did. And they received what we got. And then Paul says, no. He says, that's not the real thing. He says, it's not, you don't circumcise today, and it's not just because people speak in tongues. He says, God confirmed what we preached to the Gentiles with signs and wonders. Read it and see if that's not what he's doing there. He says, me and Barnabas went out and God worked signs and wonders to the Gentiles confirming his word. So the whole proconsul was set up, and one of the main things that brought the Gentiles in was that God was doing signs and wonders. In the mind of Paul, that seals it. All right, that was 15. I can't take time, but I could tell you about Acts chapter 19, where there was this great outpouring in Ephesus, because Paul would take a handkerchief and he'd pray over a handkerchief and he'd send the handkerchief out and it healed people. And so the whole city was turned upside down because of a handkerchief that healed people. Am I right? I could tell you about Acts chapter 20-something, where Paul went to Malta and a snake bit him. And he shook it off. And then he went all in the city and he healed this guy of a discharge. And the whole city started bringing their people for Paul to heal. The whole island began to believe in Jesus. How many sees something here? What am I trying to say to us today? Number one, signs and wonders confirm His word. Number two, cities were affected when signs and wonders were done in them. And number three, most of the signs and wonders that we read about were not done in the church. Anything wrong with the harvest? Where's the problem? Pray therefore that the Lord would send out the laborers. Am I right? Pray therefore, God, grant me boldness to go forth and minister your word, but Lord, confirm it. Work some kind of sign and wonder through me. We got to have it, folks. We will not have the revival we're all wanting and praying for until we come into a mentality and expecting God to do it. Now, the problem is that we basically disbelieve it. We don't believe in tongues. We don't believe in angels. We don't believe in anything. We're basically Sadducees, and we're basically sad, you see. Don't believe in the resurrection. Don't believe in the. Most of your churches today are preaching that Mary wasn't really a virgin. And the resurrection of the dead, that was just some kind of magic. It was magic, all right. Folks, the problem, we need a radical renewal in the way we think. We need to make sure our children are brought up believing in signs and wonders. We need to make sure our children are brought up in the house of God, where humanism does not affect them and teach them that they're the central of all universe. That God can do anything if I'll just lay my hand. And I shared this with you last week. And you say, well, what if I can't heal cancer? I can't heal those things. You in yourself, listen to me, you in yourself can't heal a runny nose. You can't heal a headache. So what's the big deal? It's not our power. It's His power. It's His name. All we're supposed to do is what? Lay hands on the sick, and they recover. How many of you need something today? Need a healing? How many of you need a healing? Come up here. Got to confirm his word. Am I right? Man. Randy, what do you need? Is it hurting right now? Who's hurting right now? You're hurting right now? You're hurting right now? Anybody else hurting right now? I want to know. We want to know if God's going to do it. Amen? Lord, through your power. Lord, I can't heal a headache. But you can. Father, you can heal Randy's back. Where's it hurting at? Okay, right over there. Okay, now, I don't see them doing the TTT in the scriptures. And I don't understand that. They just say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Okay? In the name of Jesus, take up your bed and walk. In the name of Jesus. So I'm just going to say that same thing. I'm just going to say, in the name of Jesus, back be healed. Back, in the name of Jesus, you be healed. Pain, you be gone right now. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. See what you got. What does that mean? Better. All right. Back in the name of Jesus. Soreness be gone. Pain be gone. In Jesus' name, be healed. Right now. Take up your bed and walk. Amen. Don't tell me no junk now. I want to know. Tell me the truth. It's not hurting right now. So that means it's going to hurt after a while. Amen. In the name of Jesus, be healed and never, ever bother Randy again. In Jesus' name, we receive it. Take up your bed and walk. Amen. Amen. Has it gone? No hurt at all. Not hurting at all. And it was hurting. All right. No hurting now. And you're not just telling me that. Is God confirming his word? Will you go tell somebody that God confirmed his word? All right. All right. What was your hurting? Your back too. Causing pain in your legs. Right, the same place. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command this back to be healed. I speak to it in the name of Jesus. I command all infirmities to be gone in the name of Jesus. All discomfort and all pain be gone in the name of Jesus. Back be healed. Take up your bed and walk in Jesus' name. Be healed. Doesn't hurt. What could you not do? Is there anything you couldn't do? But there's nothing you couldn't do. Are you just telling me this? No. Now, I really need to know. We need to know. Don't we need to know? We need to know. All right, you're healed. All right. Well, let's run and leap and praise God. Amen. No hurting. All right. Okay. All right. Now, you come up and you lay hands on these people. We've got to activate ourselves. How many really do see what I'm telling you is true? It's biblical, and folks, we have got to practice on one another. We have got to know that when we go out of here, if we lay hands on somebody, we can expect God to heal them. And if you can't do it here, you'll never do it out there. Am I right? Don't just want me to come up here and do it. Don't put your faith in me. Put your faith in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Am I right? Don't put your faith in me. Come up here now and minister to these people. Come on. Come on. Come on. You got to have this. This is, if we'll never ever. Amen. Now everybody don't cause confusion. Just get somebody and then somebody minister to them. Jude, don't want to pray for you, huh? Here they come. Here they come. All right. Now listen. Try to understand that God's healed you. Father, confirm your word now. Confirm your word. Signs and wonders. Confirm your word, O God. Lord, you've given us boldness to preach. You've given us boldness, O God, to decree your truths. Father, you have given me that boldness. Father, I will decree your truth to anybody. I have that boldness. Now, Father, I pray that you add signs and wonders to this ministry. That, Father, you add signs and wonders that, Lord, we expect you to move. We want you to confirm your word. Father, we see you confirm your word with signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What's happening? Anything happening? Is anything happening? Got one here? What happened? All right. Anybody else? Got a miracle over here? Anything else? Confirm your word, Lord. Confirm your word, Lord. Kevin, what happened? You don't know yet, or what?
I just feel refreshing.
You feel a rejuvenation?
I'm tired, yeah. I'm tired.
That's what he's asking for.
All right. All right. So you got it. All right. Amen. Kevin, you got to work Friday night. You got to work Friday night. Yeah, you always have to work on Friday nights. Yeah. Is anything happening? Lance got healed over here. Anybody else? Pastor Tebow, do you know if you haven't been touched? You won't know yet? You haven't been touched. All right. All right. Where's it at? Confirm your word, Lord. Confirm your word. Confirm your word. What's Cynthia being prayed for? Yeah. Father, confirm your word. Confirm your word, Lord. Confirm your word. Confirm your word. Take up your bed and walk. In the name of Jesus, silver and gold, we have none. But what we have, we're willing to give. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's happening, Cindy? You know. I heard you coughing a while ago when you tried to do that. All right. You believe in your... I mean, now you're just saying this. Or? Okay. Pastor Tebow? Confirm your word, Lord. I want to turn to one more scripture as they're ministering here, Mark 16, and then we're done. I just want to make one more point. One more point. Mark 16, verse 16. One more point. We've got to come into this mentality that it's not optional anymore. I think that we've been this way. We say, you know, well, whatever. But no, it's not whatever. If we're really going to see the harvest, we've got to go forth with signs and wonders. It's just a biblical perspective. Man, what happened? Is it gone? You're not just saying that. What's wrong with you? Everybody else got something. Yeah. Pastor Tebow says he's got a female demon. One more point, and we're done. Mark 16, 16. Back to verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. What do you go do? Preach the gospel to all creation. He who believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs, notice again, preaching and signs, and these signs will accompany those who have believed. If you're a great preacher, you'll cast out demons. If you're an apostle, you'll speak in new tongues. If you're a mighty evangelist, you can pick up the serpents. What is the criteria? If you're a believer. How many believers do we have? You believer? That's all that's required of you. Don't wait until you get perfect, folk. Because you're going to get angry. You're going to get mad. You're going to cuss sometimes. You're going to fight. You're going to say things you shouldn't say. You're going to do things you shouldn't do. And if you keep waiting for that to happen till you go out and minister to people, you will never, ever, never minister to anybody. Paul and Peter got into it. Am I telling you the truth? They got into it, but they were still raising people from the dead. What is the criteria? Be a believer. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you should be able to lay hands on the sick. And in His name, they'll recover. Am I right? Okay. Now, when we go Friday night, I don't know if this will ever be a time where we can be out like this and minister this, but it doesn't all happen in the church. When we go places, we've got to minister to people. In His name. Amen. Heads bowed. Pastor, I'm not a believer. I've never confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to. I want to minister to people. I want to touch their lives. I want to go out into the harvest. But I want to make sure I'm a believer. You're not a believer. Never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord. Never bowed to Him. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Okay? You want me to pray with you? Come up here. I'll pray with you. Fine. Cool. Keep your heads bowed. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on, Josh. I believe they have, but just let them come up because they want to. This is just a moving of the Spirit. Anybody else? Come on, man. These children are serious, folks. I'm telling you, they're as serious as they can be. Anybody else? Okay. Roger, Kevin, and Terry. Come up here. Pray with your children. You lead them to the Lord. Amen. We'll all pray together. You pray with them. No greater can you ever do than anybody else. All right. Before you pray with them, just want to say one more thing. Okay. You've seen this, what I've said today, and you're ready now. Let's go out and activate this. That's you. Raise your hand. You're ready to go and do it. Ready to go do it. Amen. All right. Let's all pray with them. Let's all pray together, okay? I'll just lead the whole church, and you all pray with me. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, you all say it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior.